subscription of friends. And it's just to help you because we're going to start out when we show the videos. It's going to start out right away with this town of, let me move out of this, of Brive la Gaillarde. That's Brive here. Brive la Gaillarde. If you want to pronounce it, say Brive. You don't have to say Brive la Gaillarde. Okay? And so that's where our ministry is right now. So you can see up a little bit higher. That's Paris. It was about 5 hours of driving from Paris down to Brive. It's 1 hour from Brive to Périgueux. And it's about 6 hours from Brive to Albertville. Okay? That's just to give you an idea. So I'm going to talk about Brive. Then I'm going to talk about Périgueux. And then I'm going to talk about Albertville. Okay? That's just to give you an idea. Okay? So stand here. So we can start the video. And here you can see the town from up on the hill. I put three pictures here of Brive la Gaillarde. Just to give you an idea, there's a lot of people in this little town. We have special meetings inside our church meeting place. This is what our church looked like, and this is inside it. This is a COVID meeting. After that, we're going to see this man doing the leading the service. So he's been kind of like the glue holding things together while we're gone. I guess he's not there yet. I'm still talking, I guess. I talk too much. You see, we have this plastic thing. You don't have one here, but we have a big plastic thing around us. So this is Andre, and he leads the meetings, leads the singing, and then he introduces the preacher. Here's one of our preachers. This is Arthur. He's one of the men that's doing the preaching. He also loves evangelism. And I think I already showed this picture. I'm not sure. So this is Sophie, my wife, and another missionary. And it's Tim over there. That's her husband. He's a missionary with our mission. And he's one of the men that doing 1 week of the preaching while we're gone. Because we are in this COVID time, we can't have our youth meetings. We can't get together. Can't really do anything. So we've been holding our youth meetings online. This is our Périgueux and Brive youth meeting. But now we're going to talk about Périgueux. This is a church retreat that we did just during the winter a few weeks ago. And this is our meeting place. It's our old meeting place at Périgueux. So we just got a new one. Most of these people are refugees and foreigners. The only constant French person at Périgueux is Sophie. So this is our new meeting place. And if you look at our display outside, there's a poster. And that's part of the Bible exposition that we have on the inside. So this is our first meeting. There's no posters here in our first meeting. Here's the poster. Now we put them up there for the Bible exposition so that people can learn a little bit about the Bible. And we're going to come in here to the first church service. So I've been having, in the church services, I'm having the teenage boys that have been baptized. I'm having them lead the meetings because we want them to participate in the life of the church.
And now we're in the movie. We're moving on to the Alps, to the Savoie, to the town of Albertville. And you can see it's up there in the mountains, the Alps. You know, it's the mountains. We've been going here to help my son for 3 to 4 years now. This is me doing a Facebook preaching from his kitchen. They'll be moving over from the Eugene to Albertville. So that's why I was saying that we use different words. Albertville, Favers, Eugene, Savoie, the Alps. It's all talking about the same thing. Not just in general, you know, I mentioned this earlier. We go out on the streets. We talk to people in the park, on the streets. We witness. We evangelize. We're involved in people's lives. So that last one. Can you stop the film for just a second? So the last one showed the kind of like chateau. That was where we were invited to somebody's wedding. Okay? So we're involved in people's lives. And here we're at the end of our film. And I'm just, you know, this is France. This represents France. And the thing is, there's like almost 70 million people in France. The Lord said, go into all the world, you know. And folks say, oh, but don't go into any place that they've heard the gospel 1,000 years ago. Don't tell them again. Well, come on now. We need to talk to people in every generation. We need to bring the gospel to the knowledge of the people. You can turn it back on. If that be possible? There you go, sparkly lights. They're in darkness. We're the lights. We want them to look up, but not just up above humanity, but to the God of creation. We want people to be saved. And this one here is people working on our church building. We need people to work on the church. We need people to evangelize. We need new workers. Okay? So now we're going to change movies. That was one I made. And now we have a movie that André, the guy who's doing the leading of the meetings and songs and stuff. This is at Périgueux. So that's Christmas time. The city has all these lights. And I'm not going to talk too much. This is pretty much self-explanatory. Just read the French. Because of COVID, you know, we've had to try different things. And at first, we were doing the preaching from our home on Facebook and different things. And finally, we just settled down on just Facebook. And as I mentioned earlier, the church at Brive took offerings to send the refugee children to Christian camp 2 summers in a row. The first summer, 2 boys got saved. The second summer, 2 boys got saved. And so these are pictures from the camp. Tim, the guy that was playing the piano while his wife and my wife were singing, he and his wife run this camp. So this past summer, and in the middle of COVID, we baptized 7 people. We were grieved, but all the people that got baptized are from Périgueux. Different nationalities and stuff, former backgrounds, Orthodox, Muslim, and so on. That lady had never gotten into water before. That was a big step. River's about 200 yards from where we live. So we do a lot of youth work. So especially André, he's kind of the impetus, but we do a lot of youth work with the work at Périgueux. We try to get together with the Christians from, you know, the youth from other churches to do things. We went on a walk in the forest. Says we use sports in order to evangelize other unbelievers. And this is the last couple of meetings we had at the first meeting place in Périgueux. And then you're going to see a mind sketch skit that the kids did at Christmas time. I don't know that guy. Here it is. This is the good Samaritan. Thank you. Bible study in Russian. So we have these Bible studies in Russian that Andre does. And then you'll see a church service that's in Russian also. And again, we're using the teenagers to do the leading of the songs and stuff. This fellow's name is Guka. He's one of the ones that got baptized. He's 18. Who are saved. This is Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. That was interesting. That's what's going on over there. And I really appreciated that Andre had made that film. He made it for himself about the work that's at Perry Good, put the music with it and all that stuff. And I said, oh, wow, maybe you can teach me how to do that. So he showed me, you know, what to do. And, oh, technology makes things so much easier nowadays. Anyway, if you have any questions, we'll be here afterwards and happy to answer your questions. Now we'd like to just open up the Bible, and I'm going to focus, it's really a missions message, okay? You know, looking back in the 20th century, long time ago, 20th century, you know, Christianity was on fire for missions, last century, okay? Especially the beginning of the last century and into the middle of last century. And the churches were sending out literally thousands of faithful missionaries to the various fields here on our planet. Like Pillsbury Baptist Bible College. Hundreds of missionaries were going out. Now there's no Pillsbury Baptist Bible College. It's gone. Nobody's being sent out. You look around on the field, you read what's going on. The full-time missionaries are aging. Not me, of course. Of course we're aging. Some of them are in poor health. Of course, with COVID, we've seen a lot of pastors and missionaries have actually passed away. Some are retiring. And what we don't see young people stepping in to take their place. That's what we don't see. They're not preparing, and they're not going to the mission field. I wrote to several Bible institutes, to Christian colleges, to seminaries. I even contacted two mission schools that were Spanish, in Spanish-speaking countries. And what I found out is that no one is available. I'm not saying that other folks can't find that there are some available. I found out that no one is available. And I want to be clear about one thing. God has not ceased to call men and women to the mission field. The Great Commission is still active. The problem is that few people are responding to God's call. One director of missions at a Bible college, he wrote back to me and he said, "None of our students are interested in expatriate work." What kind of vocabulary is that? You know, he's the missions director, right? So what he meant was that none of his students want to leave the homeland. Homeland security. Okay? He was saying that none of the students are interested in serving on a foreign mission field. That's kind of ridiculous. Friends, I'm here today and I've just given you a report on our work. But I'm also wanting to talk to remind you that during this age of grace, the Lord is calling. He continues to call workers to harvest his fields. Jesus said, "Lift up your eyes, for the fields are white for the harvest." So we're going to look in John chapter 4. John chapter 4. And I teach my guys over there that when you give the reference or you give the song number, you're supposed to say it three times. So John chapter 4, verse 34 through 38. Jesus saith unto them, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest? Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth, receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon you bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors." The question is, what is your part in this expression? Now, the expression where he said, "Lift up your eyes, for the fields are white for the harvest." What is your part? Your part is to lift up your eyes. The idea is to become conscious of the need. Now, if we're going around like this, it's one thing to have the mask here. It's another thing to have the mask here. Right? Okay, we need to lift up our eyes and see what the needs are. And the fact is, there are always lots of needs here if we're willing to look. Local church ministries, home missions, foreign missions. Brothers and sisters, have you considered the needs? Have you looked around and what can I do? What is God's will for my life? How can I serve God in this harvest? Are you ordering your life to serve God as God would have you to serve him? No, I'll do it my way and no other way. But what about God's way? What does God want? What does God want from your life? So first of all, there's looking, considering what the needs are. And then he says there's some that sow and there's some that reap. So the second thing is to sow. We sow the gospel. We don't sow other things. We sow the gospel. Many ask, why are there so few converts today? And the answer is simple. Because we're not sowing very much. We do not sow abundantly. We sow sparingly. Or we just don't sow at all. So there's less results. There's less harvest. There's a children's song that goes something like this. Be a missionary every day. Show the world that Jesus is the way. The Lord may soon be coming. There's no time to lose, so be a missionary, God's own emissary. Be a missionary today. Isn't that true for all of us? Not just for children. The children are still with their parents. It's the young people and the couples that are going to go out to the mission field. Let's look now in Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. And we'll be Matthew chapter 9, verse 37, 36 through 38. Matthew 9, 36. But when he saw the multitudes, he, and that's talking about Jesus, was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. So in this verse, Jesus lifted up his eyes and he saw the needs of the multitudes. And what he saw moved him to compassion. He said, the harvest truly is plenteous. So there's plenty of needs. But the laborers are few. Not enough workers out there to do all the work. So Jesus said to pray that the Lord would send laborers into the harvest. Pray and send. So the send means pray that the laborer, pray that workers will go and do the harvest. Workers will go out and work. And I can tell you that in 2021, there is still lots of work to do. The needs are still great and greater every day. In fact, there are many more lost souls to save than ever before. And when I say that, I mean literally billions. So scholars estimate that the world population during the time of Christ and the apostles, according to the internet, was about 170 million people in the first century. There were about 170 million people. Well, let's exaggerate and say 200 million people. How many people in America? 360 million? More or less? But more people in America today than there were in the world at the time of Christ. Okay? In 1800, there was approximately 1 billion people in the world. In 1900, there's approximately 1.6 billion people in the world. In 2000, they counted about 6 billion people in the world. And today, that is last year, they count about 7.8 billion people in the world. Okay? Literally billions and billions of people that God wants them to hear the gospel. How many missionaries are we sending out? Oh, nobody wants to do expatriate work. That's sad. Because there's more people today than ever before. Back in the last century, they were saying that more people were alive in the 20th century on the planet Earth at one time than had ever lived in the whole history of the world. Jesus wants all these people to hear the gospel. The Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. All 7.8 billion people, God would have them go to heaven if they would believe in Jesus Christ. But there's not enough workers. And I remember when I read the biography of Hudson Taylor, when he goes to China and he finds there's already missionaries there, but the missionaries aren't in contact with the Chinese people. They're just gathered together, fellowshipping, having tea, being missionaries. What did he do? He put on that kind of fake wig thing and put on the Chinese clothes and went out and evangelized. Okay? He was doing the work. So you can be a missionary but not be a worker. Or you can be a missionary and be a worker. So I was thinking a little bit about some stuff and I came up with an interesting parallel between Genesis and on one side, Genesis, and Mark and Acts on the other side. So let's look in Genesis and we'll read chapter 8. Genesis chapter 8. We'll read verses 15 through 19. Genesis 8, 15 through 19. And God spoke unto Noah, saying, go forth of the ark, thou, and thy wife, and thy sons, and thy sons' wives with thee, bring forth with thee every living thing that is with thee of all flesh, both of the fowl and of cattle, and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, that they may breed abundantly in the earth, and be fruitful and multiply upon the earth. And Noah went forth, and his sons, and his wives, and his sons' wives with him. Every beast, every creeping thing, every fowl, and whatsoever creepeth upon the earth after their kind, went forth out of the ark. Okay, so that's interesting. The Lord said that the people and the animals should spread out across the globe, and the animals went out throughout the planet. But did the people do it? No. What did the people do? The people went just as far as Shinar, and they started building that tower. And they said, let's build a city. So in chapter 9, verse 1, it says, that God blessed Noah, blessed his sons, and said to them, be fruitful, be multiplied, and replenish the earth. So go out in the earth. He says it twice to them. Chapter 11, verse 4, it says, and they said, as the people said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven. Let us make us a name, that we be lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. So God said to go out, you know, throughout the whole earth. And they said, well, we don't want to. And then what happened? Verse 8, it says, so the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of the earth, and they left off to build the city. God sent this confusion through the different languages. And then, you know, from all the confusion, they were all spread abroad, as they were supposed to have done of goodwill. Okay, but they chose to not do what God wanted. So what I found was interesting comparison with Mark chapter 16. So we'll jump over there. Mark chapter 16. Hope you didn't preach on this last week, Pastor. Mark chapter 16, and it's verse 15. Where we read, Jesus said to them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. To every living person, we should preach the gospel throughout the whole world. Well, that's kind of similar to Genesis, where he said, leave the ark and go throughout the whole world. But now he's saying, go throughout the whole world with the gospel. Okay? And I mentioned earlier in Sunday school, you know, the first part of Christianity was important. The Christians stuck together and they got everything, you know, solid foundation. You know, everybody was agreed, okay, this is what the Old Testament was saying was going to happen. This was the prophecies and this is what Jesus did and Jesus rose again. And now we need to preach the gospel. But for some reason, you know, they just kept having potlucks. They didn't move forward. They said, well, we're good here in Jerusalem and Judea and that's great. But then God permitted a persecution. Death of Stephen. And that persecution made them go everywhere with the word. And so we see that in Acts chapter 8. Okay, so we see in Mark, you're supposed to do this, to go out into the world and preach the gospel. They didn't do it. Now, it was okay to begin with. But eventually, they were supposed to do it. And so in Acts chapter 8, we'll read verses 1 through 4. And Saul was consenting unto his death, the death of Stephen. And at that time, there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the region of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Okay, so that's interesting, because the people are going to go out and evangelize are not the apostles. The apostles stayed in Jerusalem. And it's the Christians, the everyday people, you sitting there in the church, you know, the pastor stayed here and everybody else left. Well, that kind of messed up your congregation. Verse 2, and devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad, that's everybody but the apostles, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. And that's great. That's what he told him to do in Mark chapter 16, to go everywhere preaching the word. So to me, that's kind of similar, you know. But instead of using confusion of tongues, God used tongues to bring the people in Acts chapter 2 to listen instead of the confusion of tongues. It was confusion, but they, wow, what's going on here? And he explained things through his tongues, and then about, you know, all the prophecy around that. And then eventually, God had to let persecution come along to get him actually going out. I'd kind of like to change the subject a little and look in Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. And verse 62. Luke chapter 9 and verse 62. And Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Our problem today is that there are so few people who want to put their hand to the plow. It's not that they're out there working and looking back. It's just that they're sitting there playing video games at home. They don't want to get out and get in a sunburn. Okay? That is our problem today. There aren't enough people considering to go out and labor. He said, you know, lift up your eyes. Well, you don't want to lift up their eyes. They're stuck on the computer screen. They want to look up and then see the need and then participate. They aren't even considering that maybe God would have them. Too many people are attached to the pleasures of our modern world. And we see a lot of weird things going on in America. We even hear about it over there in France, you know. How could that be? Well, you know, if the Christians aren't being Christians, how can God be blessing us? We need to reevaluate. Are we doing God's will? Are you willing to work? Will you put your hand to the plow? It starts by praying that the Lord send laborers. And then it becomes the responsibility of each believer, having prayed that God would send laborers, to look up his eyes and see what are the needs. What would God have me to do? And then committing oneself to do the work. I'm not saying what work God has for you. No, that's not my business. But God has every one of us part of the body of Christ doing something, whatever it is that he has for each of us. And then, once we know what we're doing, sticking to it. So there are some people from Switzerland have gone from Switzerland, they're almost all German-speaking Swiss people, that have come to France as missionaries, and their motto is, summarize it, work until you die, as their motto. So there's a certain place in Acts chapter 18 where Paul was pressed in the spirit to testify that Jesus is the Christ. He was pressed in the spirit to witness. Talk about Jesus. That's a personal Christian life, right? There should be times when we say, oh, I need to witness to this person or to this group or this thing. There's other times, that's like when we go out in the street there and very good and breathe, and we just, hey, we're going to do it. We're going to provoke those people to ask the question, you know. And so we'll go up with our tract, you know, and then, hi, I'm out here today, you know, wanting to distribute these invitations or this information. Got both words on the tract, you know, so we can go either way. And, we're Christians, you know, here in our town. Are you a Christian? And they'll say, well, no, I'm a Muslim. Or they'll say, no, I'm an atheist. Or they'll say, Muslim, atheist. No, I'm Catholic. And so, okay. whatever their answer is, that's good with us. We'll just go from there. You know? And they say, well, we're, you know, we believe in God, and obviously you believe in God because you're a Muslim or you're a Catholic, or well, atheist is a little bit harder, you know. You have to go a little bit around that. But the point is that we want to testify to Christ, and if people don't want to talk, we'll give an opportunity just by breaking the ice. It doesn't hurt. I mean, they won't hurt you. Very rarely has anybody ever been aggressive. Okay? So there's no reason to be afraid of it. You know, some of us are just afraid, well, what'll happen? What'll they say? What'll they do? They don't do or say or anything. You know, they're just there to listen. I'm trying to encourage you to do it, you know. There shouldn't be any fear. Okay. Like 30 years ago, even 32 years ago, one guy said, I'm going to throw you out the window. That's a long time ago. I'm still here. And then there was one time at Mont-la-Jolie, there was this kind of Taliban-dressed guy, and he came up and started yelling at me and all this stuff, and he was like this close. And after a while, I said, yeah, but I'm not a Catholic. Because everything he said was anti-Catholic, you know? So I said, well, I'm not a Catholic. And he goes, oh, and he ran away. That was weird, you know? And there was this one drunk guy at Brive la Gaillarde. It did give me a little bit of a hard time, okay? But I'm still here, like I said. No, I mean, in 35 years, you know, a few little negative experiences, but nothing real. So it's probably the same for you. You know, go out and talk to people. There's a song that I think is based on a verse in Isaiah. The question is, can you sing this song and do nothing, okay? Here am I, Lord, send me. You know the music, I'm not going to. You know, before she listened to my singing. Here am I, Lord, send me. I will follow anywhere. Here am I, Lord, send me. Can you sing that and not do it? Because it's kind of like a prayer. Here am I, Lord, send me. Now, the fact is you don't have to go everywhere all by yourself. In fact, you cannot. God can, but you cannot go everywhere all by yourself. But you can go somewhere. You need to go where Jesus wants you to be. Maybe God wants you in Hollister or somewhere else in California or the other side of the United States or Canada or Mexico. Who knows where God might want you to be. But you need to know where God wants you to be and be there. I would like to finish by reading in Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. And I'm just going to read verses 9 and 10. Yeah, 9 and 10. Acts chapter 16, verses 9 and 10. And so it's Paul. A vision appeared to Paul. In the night, there stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, or you know, beseeched him, requested of him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we, that's Luke, the we is Luke, okay? We endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Okay, so they had been doing the ministry they had been doing, and then, oh, God wants us to go somewhere else. Okay, and so the question again is, what would God have you to do? I just want to encourage you to, you know, in that sense, what does God want you to do? For each one of us, that's still a question. Okay, and Lord willing, we're each doing what it is that God wants us to do. Pastor?